Desire and interest in your prayers today. We had a what I feel like was an inspired service this morning in Sunday school. And the subject of Sunday school this morning was a word fitly spoken. And it was a lesson fitly given this morning. And it goes just hand in hand with the message that I feel inspired with to share with you now. I've written on the board, nothing between. And then after those two words, I've written human relationships. And I'd like to deliver this message this morning as a preface to this last element, nothing between. The last element of the series that we've been studying having to do with being alive in Jesus and being ready, always ready when the Lord comes back. I want to be ready when the Lord calls my name. And so we've gone through and we've spent some time on some key elements of being alive and being ready. Believing into Jesus Christ, repentance, growing a relationship, personal relationship with the Lord. And then lastly in that series that we've been inspired with is having nothing between our soul and the Savior. And that last element really in a lot of ways encapsulates and involves those first three things that we just mentioned. This morning, again, I feel like that this message is a preface, if you will, to this element of having nothing between our soul and the Savior. So we'll come back to this subject again. This morning's message is a preface to that. Do you know what the source is of one of the most fulfilling, wonderful, beautiful things in life? Yes, the Lord, and the Lord is involved, but there is something that represents key to the most beautiful, wonderful things that we can experience in life. And that is human relationships. Relationships with other people. Family, love, closeness, love of others, it can be so beautiful. And the Lord, not just the Lord, but the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, you read the New Testament, it spends a lot of time focused on relationships with other people. Do you know what the source is of some of the most difficult, heartbreaking, challenging situations that we ever encounter in life? Same thing. Relationships with other people. Human relationships with other people. Have you ever experienced a barrier, something that interferes, something that turns upside down a relationship that you've had, a relationship that held so much opportunity for good, and yet it got turned upside down? That started a long time ago, all the way back with Cain and Abel, two brothers The first brothers that we have an account of in the Scripture, their relationship was hurt. It was turned upside down for varying reasons. And then that element, that situation has happened ever since then. Jesus experienced pain in his relationships with some. Peter has experienced pain in his relationships. Paul. And I suspect every one of us this morning can look back or not even look back. Sometimes we can look in the present and find places and relationships and situations that have caused pain and hurt. Barriers that come in between. And this morning, barriers that are left unaddressed can grow bigger with time, and sometimes they seem like they grow bigger. It seems like the walls grow taller, they grow thicker, the foundation deepens sometimes. And sometimes it is because of real things. And other times it's because of imagined things. Oftentimes it's imagined things. It's things that we thought were true. It's things that we imagined to be true. And that perception becomes a reality. And whether it's real or whether it's imagined, those barriers that come into our relationship with other people, they represent missed opportunity. Missed opportunity of blessing. Missed opportunity of an otherwise close relationship, companionship, much needed support. Folks, we need each other in life. God, He didn't put us on earth by ourselves. We need each other. We sing a song. We need each other, brethren. We need family. We need friends. We need the support of other people. And I know that it's not always possible to avoid having these barriers in life. And let me phrase it this way. It's not always possible for you as an individual to always avoid trouble with other people. But there's a lot of it that could be avoided if only in the very beginning, with humility of spirit, that we would go and try to bring resolution to something we begin to sense is a problem. Can we always do it? No. I can't control other people's actions and reactions. I can't change the heart of other people. I can't change hardened hearts. I can't change blind spots that people may have in their outlook towards me or other people. All I have control of, to a point, is myself, because I'm on a journey too. I'm working with the Lord too to try to help fix me and to try to make me what Jesus wants me to be. And sometimes we can do things as individuals that are the source of conflict and pain and suffering. But when we realize that, when we recognize that, the Lord wants us to do everything we can in humility, to keep nothing between our relationships with other people. And there are reasons that stretch far and wide for the exhortations, the many exhortations that we read in the Scripture. We read one of them a few weeks ago. It says, if when you bring a sacrifice, in the 5th chapter of Matthew, 23rd verse, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, in other words, you're coming before the Lord and you value your relationship with the Lord, and maybe you're coming in repentance before the Lord, maybe you're coming to draw closer to the Lord, you have an offering that you want to lift up before God, and when you come, you remember, oh, that thy brother has aught against thee. I know that so-and-so has problem with me. And maybe it's because of something that we did. Maybe it's a way we lived our life. Maybe it's something that we regret. Maybe we don't live like that anymore. Maybe it's something that is current and the Lord brings it to our mind. It says to leave our gift before the altar and go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Because you see, folks, barriers that we allow to remain between us and other people that we willingly allow to remain. Again, it doesn't mean that we're going to live life and we're going to be able to live where there's always nothing in between me and anybody else. I want to be clear about that. We're not going to be able to bring resolution to everything. But when those things exist, when there's something between me and somebody else, it often represents prime opportunity for there to be something between your soul and the Savior, or something between the other party's soul and the Savior. And so the Lord says, the Scriptures bring out, that if you know that there's a problem, you know that there's a barrier, you know there's something that's interfering between your relationship and somebody else's, the Lord says, endeavor to resolve them. There's an oft-quoted scripture that we read, and I've heard the children in Bible verses quote it. In the 3rd chapter of Lamentations, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Why are His mercies and compassions needed? This is a verse that applies to all of us. It said, listen to what it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that, did it say everyone else is not consumed? That's not what it says. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Why do we need His mercy? Why do we need the compassion of the Lord? We need the compassion of the Lord and the Lord's mercy because we ourselves have been found in places of life that's not so good. Not so good. I have. You have. All of us have. And the Lord looks down and He sees the great need of every single individual. And so the prophet Jeremiah said, look, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. And is there anybody here this morning that is okay with this verse not applying to them? Anybody? Anybody here just okay with the Lord's compassion and mercy being available every other day? I mean, that's almost every day. It's not just once a year or once a month. How about every other day? Are we okay with that? I'm not. I need the mercy of the Lord and His compassion every single day. If I don't have the mercy and compassion of the Lord every single day, I'll be consumed. And the Lord is calling on us as people to apply this same principle towards our fellow man. You want it applied to yourself? You want the mercy of the Lord and His compassion every day? You want His great faithfulness to be applied to you every day? The Scriptures teach us, apply that principle to everyone else around you. If thy brother offend thee, forgive him, was it 7 times in a day? Is that what it was? It was just seven times in a day. Is that what it says? What did Jesus say? 70 times 7. Have you ever had to forgive somebody 490 times in one day? The point is completely. Whatever it takes. 7 times 70. And Jesus said, if you forgive other people their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But, however, if we don't forgive other people their trespasses, the Scripture says your Father in heaven won't forgive you of your trespasses. Jesus said, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Or judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you'll be judged. And with what measure you mete out. In other words, the actions, the behaviors, those things that you deal out, that you mete out, that you give out, those measures that you hold strong to, that same measure will be meted to you. Scripture, it's verse. There's a parable of the kingdom of heaven that says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me. And the converse of that is true too. Inasmuch as ye haven't done it to the least of these, my brethren, you haven't done it unto me. If you want to hold things, if we get in places in our lives where there are those walls and barriers that have been built and we're going to hold it to our brother, to our fellow human being, and we're not willing to do what we can to resolve it, the Lord takes note of that, and the Scripture said that as we do good unto other people, even if it's not Jesus, maybe it's people that we view as the least deserving. Jesus said, I took note of it, and it's the same as if you did it unto me. If you desire mercy of the Lord this morning, and I do, because I'm in so much need of it, Lord, help us show mercy to other people. Barriers created, walls, that are erected in our human relationships with other people too often represent a barrier and a hindrance in our relationship with Jesus. And so he exhorts us in multiple ways to do our best to keep our relationships clear. Folks, let's be bridge builders. Build bridges. Make it as easy as possible. Make it as easy as possible for reconciliation to happen. Do your part so that when the time comes that maybe somebody else is in that place of mind and heart, and maybe the Lord's had to deal with them for maybe many years, maybe you've tried to do your part, and maybe it doesn't seem like anything is good has come from it. Continue to build the foundation of a bridge. Consistent love, consistent friendship, consistent goodwill, and build those things over time. And when things come in to corrupt or take away from, do everything that you can to get rid of those things so that you can build these piers, so that a bridge can be built, so that people can get over to the other side. And those gaps and those chasms and those places of trouble that maybe has been there for years, that you have done your part over time to give yourself to building a bridge that can connect relationships that perhaps were before in trouble, where things separated you and somebody else. You know what we can do sometimes? Sometimes people can do us wrong. And we can read these things and say, okay, I know that what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to go try to be reconciled. And I read this verse here that says, if I come to the altar and I remember, and so I know I need to do that. So I'm gonna do the Christian-like thing, and that's what I'm gonna do. And so we go and we try to be reconciled, and it doesn't work. We go on Wednesday at 5:30 when they get home and try to be reconciled, and it doesn't work. You know what we're tempted to do? We're tempted to say, well, I did my part. I did my part. The Bible says to go try and go to your brother and try to be reconciled. And I did, but they didn't want to have it. And so, I don't know. I guess that's the way it is. And the temptation is for us to just have this attitude of been there, did it. They didn't want to receive it. And I'm going to go back home. I'm going to take my ball. I'm going to go home. And the temptation, and it's kind of human nature, is that we withdraw. We draw back. And we begin to shut the doors and shut the blinds and shut the windows, and we stand on what I'm going to call a false sense of spiritual security by saying, we tried to follow the Scripture. We tried to go to Him. But the Scripture also says, 7 times 70. The Scripture teaches us that with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it'll be measured to you again. Do you want the Lord just to come to you once? Anybody here just want the Lord to come deal with you one time and then go home and shut the doors of heaven and saying, I tried. I sent my spirit down and I dealt with their soul and I came down and met them right where they are, and they didn't respond like they should, so I did my part. Anybody here want that to happen? I don't. I'm desperate for the faithfulness of God, for His compassions to be new every morning, and I want Him to mete out to me as many opportunities as it takes to get me to heaven. And he wants us to do the same with other people. He wants us to do as best as we can with other people to continue to show love and care and kindness. Keep doing good. That one day maybe it can be resolved. And if not, we can know that we were faithful. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Galatians in the 9th verse, be not weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we can get weary and we can think, well, here it goes again. I've tried again. I get the same result. Next day comes. Next week comes. Next encounter comes. I'll try again. Try again. Same result. It's like, I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to do the right thing. Be not weary in well-doing. Because in due season, there is going to be a reaping, a good reaping, at least for you, if you faint not, very possibly for somebody else. I have a few minutes left this morning. And there is something further. There's something further that Jesus felt was so important to teach us in, I guess, perhaps the greatest message he ever preached, there on the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the first things that he said was, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are able to give words fitly spoken. Peacemaker. Words fitly spoken. What is a peacemaker? Formal definition is a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversaries. Do you know that the Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? Bear ye one another's burdens. No. It's not saying to go meddle in other people's business. The Scripture doesn't teach us that we're supposed to look around and try to identify problems so that we can rush in and insert ourselves in business that is not our business to be part of. Sometimes people do that. Sometimes people just feel this need to involve themselves in things that they shouldn't be involved with. They don't need to be involved with. It's not their business. And the Scripture doesn't teach us to go involve yourself in everybody else's business. Even when you see trouble, it's not always the time to go involve yourself in everyone else's business. However, but, the Scripture does teach us, blessed are the peacemakers. And as we have opportunity, and as we are involved in situations where we see an opportunity to be a peacemaker. You ever been in a discussion with somebody and they're talking to you and all of a sudden the discussion starts to turn in a way where negativity starts to come up about somebody else, and you start to hear the tension, feel the tension and hear the trouble that is there? There you go. There's the opportunity. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's your opportunity to be a peacemaker. To help reconcile a barrier that may be standing between one of the most valuable things that the Lord ever instituted, which was personal relationships with other people. That can be such a blessing. And the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed is the one that when they find themselves in that situation where they have a choice. You can either pour fuel on the fire. And why is it that it's so human nature, I don't know, that when trouble is going, when we find ourselves in those situations, it's so easy sometimes just to sit back and say, well, run that by me one more time. What was that again? They did what? Oh, wow, I can't hardly believe that someone would do something like that. I didn't think that of them. Well, you know what I heard the other day about that person? It just goes right along with what you're saying, and off we go. That's not being a peacemaker. That's not helping a relationship. And there we are. We carry around sometimes containers of fuel. And it's right there so that when we see a little fire, we pour fuel on it. And sometimes people even do the opposite. They get in discussions with somebody and for no real good reason at all say, "Did you know what I heard about so-and-so? Now, don't tell anybody that I told you this, but I'm going to tell you what they did. It's just between the two of us. But you're not going to believe this. They profess Christianity, but they did this." And we just created a little fire. We poured fuel on it, we lit the match, and then we stand back to see how big a great a fire is kindleth by just a few words with our tongue. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That's not what the Lord's calling us to do. He's calling us to be a peacemaker. Not only is He calling on us not to pour fuel, not to add fuel, not to help strengthen barriers that's already there between people. But the Lord is calling on us as a representative of Jesus Christ, of light and truth and hope, to bring something with us as we go out into the world and as we interact with other people, that when we see opportunity where there's a fire that we see is going on between two people that have souls and that have eternity at stake, and they have lives to live, and they have to live with themselves and sometimes each other, and we see this little fire, it's like, I can help put it out. And I've somehow God has brought me into the situation. It's not that I'm trying to be where I'm not. God help us have understanding to know when He wants us to be involved and when He doesn't want us to be involved. But let's be fire extinguishers, not fire creators. Let's do what we can not only to add fire to a fire that's already going, but let's do everything we can to help build each other up and maybe broaden perspective. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I want to tell you a different side of that person. I want to tell you something maybe you didn't know. They have been such a blessing to me in these ways. And you know, in my own life, I find that I've done things before too that I regretted it more than anybody else regretted it. And was sorry immediately after. Nobody else knew, but I did. And you know what? I think if we give that person some room and some encouragement, they could probably really be a blessing to us. How much better is that? Be a peacemaker. Be one that seeks to live life where there doesn't have to be things between yourself and other people, which so often then becomes things between you and God. And so our relationship with other people has so much to do with what we've been talking about these last few weeks. Being alive, having fire in our souls, being spiritually alive, being ready when the Lord comes back. That we believe in two Jesus to the point that we take on His love and His care for other people, which may very well involve being a peacemaker. You want to believe into Jesus? Be a peacemaker. And that sometimes we have to repent. We come to those places where we realize, oh, I didn't do right, and maybe I was the cause of a rift or a problem between me and somebody else, or caused a problem between two other parties. I want to repent, and I want to go, and I want to try to make it right so that there's nothing between, and so that I can grow a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? This goes in a complete circle. When we have a healthy, growing relationship with Jesus Christ, it will result in healthy, alive, growing, blessed, wonderful relationships with other people. Require humility sometimes? Yep. Is our sense of justice offended sometimes? Yep. Do we have to give sometimes when we don't feel like giving? Yes. Jesus did all the above. Is it worth it? Without reserve, categorically, absolutely. It's worth it. This morning, may the Lord help us to reflect Jesus in the whole of our life, that we live endeavoring to have nothing between, as best as we're able. By the grace of God, as best as we're able. We're not going to be able to change people. But let's do our part to keep nothing between our soul and the Savior, our lives and other people's lives, and when possible, be a peacemaker to help bring other people together. And I believe that if we can do this, the Lord will say, well done. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.